You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the second Sunday after Easter, April 3rd, 2016, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the religious authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Could it be that all Thomas ever wanted was to be known and to be held and to be loved by God and be reassured that this love would continue? From the moment we are held as infants by our parents, we yearn for the loving and reassuring presence in our lives, a presence that does not leave us and travels with us through all the temptations and trials of our life. In fact, this sustaining love is at the very breath of God, breathing life into places where there is not peace and when there is fear. In fact, peace shows up 3 different times in this story, so we know that we can't miss it. One of the greatest fears we have as human beings is to be abandoned or rejected, left alone, excluded, especially by those we depend upon for love and even survival. I believe this was the case for Thomas, and I also believe it's the case for us. And so I return to my original question. Could it be that the question behind all of Thomas's questions was simply the big question: can I be truly known, held, and loved by God, no matter what happens in my life? Many of us have heard different sermons over the years, I think many good ones, if I have to say myself, about Apostle Thomas. After all, he is our parish namesake, a hero of sorts. I can't speak for you, but I have learned to feel less guilty over the years about having my own doubts and fears and expressing them. I hope we all feel empowered to be honest with our relationship with God and ask the hard questions that need to be asked about our faith to grow. Not only on an intellectual level, but also on the heart level too. Just the other day, I was talking with a parent here at St. Thomas and learned that one of the most important reasons he is here at our church is that he knows that it's not only okay to ask the questions about our faith, the hard ones, but we are encouraged to do so, and we are safe in doing so. This astute parent went on to say that he wants his children to know that curiosity and engagement with the big questions of life and pursuing with passion the ultimate mysteries of life is at the heart of being alive and being alive with Christ. It was just last weekend at the Easter Vigil that we gathered around five beautiful children that had been baptized, and we prayed this special prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon these, your servants, the forgiveness of sin and have raised them to the new life of grace. Sustain them, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give them an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all of your works. Amen. Now, I believe this is also a prayer for those 11 disciples hidden in the house in Jerusalem who are experiencing fears beyond measure, caused by changes beyond their control and right smack in the process of new birth. They are a spiritual family of sorts, torn apart and traumatized by violent loss of their primary teacher, attachment figure, even a parent figure in Jesus. They had relied on him, much like children rely on parents for wisdom, for strength, until they can fly on their own. These scared disciples received the peace of the resurrected Christ, and immediately afterwards, Jesus shows them the healed wounds. He is not a ghost. He is for real. He reveals himself as fully divine and fully human, but in a body that has been transformed into something even more glorious than they'd ever known before. Jesus was fully alive, more alive and glorious than ever, and had come back to reconnect them to him and to each other. Jesus reminds them that the mission is not over. For his family to heal from the broken relationships, all of the mistrust, and be delivered from the fear, they must receive the Holy Spirit, who will give them the power to forgive themselves, to forgive each other, and even forgive God for leaving them, so their broken hearts can begin to heal. But not all the family members are present at first to receive the message. Thomas is gone when Jesus comes back to them, and none of the Gospels tell us where he has been. Had he been booted out of this group for a lack of faith? Didn't make the measure? Did he run out for food? Had his guilt for abandoning Jesus hit him so hard that he thought he had sinned more than the rest? How could things have gone so terribly bad when all he ever wanted was to be known, to be held, and to be loved by God? In my imagination, Jesus came back to make another display of the marks of the crucifixion because Thomas was in prayer, a deep prayer that was always the same theme. How can I be close to God? And so Thomas invited him back. Isn't that one of the great moments of our lives, of new life, a resurrection? The human being that we are, we need to know that those we love, those we're separated from, will come back for us. We rejoice when God comes back, and often we feel that in coming back, we are restored into right relationship with him and those we love, especially after we've been disconnected by some sort of loss or disagreement, misunderstanding, estrangement, or even death. 1985. Some of you were alive. Do you remember Carl Sagan? Quite an astronomer and an author, and one of the favorite novels he wrote, he didn't write many, it was called Contact, and some of you will remember it as made into a movie. Jodie Foster was Dr. Ellie Arroway. the forever searching and questioning astronomer. It is a story about a young girl who tragically loses both of her parents at an early age, and her grief propels her to be on the search to overcome her loneliness, to find if there is some kind of extraterrestrial intelligence. I think that's one of the ways we talk about God, okay? Intelligence that can even be beyond what we can comprehend here. So she earns her PhD in astronomy. She becomes committed to empirical science as the search for truth. And then she opposes any faith claims that religion might make until she falls in love with an ordained minister. And that sweetens my heart. It wasn't me. And she has an experience of love that cannot be explained by science alone. There's a very moving part in the movie when Dr. Arroway is transported through technology provided by advanced civilization to the planet Vega. It is there that the higher life form chooses to first reveal his presence through the loving persona of her deceased father that she loved dearly. And this was done as to not frighten her. It is there that she receives the hopeful message that humanity will one day be able to transcend the limits of time and space and be able to engage with worlds not yet imaginable. He sends her back to Earth with a message of hope and love and peace. Ironically, she now finds herself believing in an experience she cannot prove scientifically, but knows in her heart that it must be true. She is compelled to continue to spread the good news despite the skepticism, cynicism, and resistance she encounters on planet Earth. She has come alive because she has known a love that transcends loss, transcends all the usual constraints of time and space. This may be another way to describe Easter or even heaven, experiencing a love that transcends all usual constraints of time and space. And so we too, as disciples of Jesus, we're sent out with a message of hope. We witness to an unbelieving world that believes our message of a love that is limitless and never dies is nothing but fantasy or pure science fiction. Ancient Christians called this special Easter journey as the way of mystery or mystagogia. And today we are gathered for the next several Sundays to support each other into living into the wider and deeper mysteries that Easter brings forth. It is a time for us to participate in Christ's resurrection by asking ourselves daily, what is making me come alive? This season of Easter is a time to know the peace, the forgiveness, the hope, the new life, set loose by the Spirit of God and breathed back into us. It is time to passionately seek contact with the source of new life known as the risen Lord Jesus, who has triumphed over death, bridged all that separates us, and brings us back from the dead. It is time to have faith that God will reveal his divinely human presence in the unique and personalized way we need him to appear. Just as he did for Thomas, he will do for us. It is time to have faith that Jesus, more than anything else, wants us to make contact with him, and he wants to make contact with us and remind us that all we ever wanted was to be known, to be held, and to be loved by God. Yes, God has come back for us. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.